from North State Public Radio, I'm Ava Norgrove with your headlines for Friday, December 1st. A report from a San Diego lawyer claims Chico State followed proper policy when handling former professor David Stachura. Stachura had been given tenure and an outstanding professor award, despite an internal investigation into his inappropriate sexual relationship with a student and alleged threats of violence he made towards his coworkers. Thomas Peel is an investigative reporter for EdSource. He says the community isn't pleased about the report.
They're dismissive of it because they think that the report was orchestrated in a way to give the university cover and is less than intellectually honest.
The report defends the university's decision to not inform faculty about Stachura's threats and makes no policy recommendations. University officials said they are pleased the report has been released and does not dispute the timeline of events it lays out. You can hear the full interview with investigative reporter Thomas Peel coming up later in headlines. Stay tuned. For now, the Oroville community has been left in the dark, wondering why its superintendent, William Brown, was recently ousted from his position without notice. Approximately 80 residents gathered at a special meeting of the Board of Trustees on Wednesday evening to get some answers. According to reporting by the Chico Enterprise Record, both the Oroville Union High School District and Brown said they could not reveal why the decision had been made because they are bound by a confidentiality agreement. That's left residents to try and figure out the reason for themselves. Some meeting attendees told the paper they were concerned the ousting of Brown, who is Black, could be racially motivated. Despite the lack of clarity, the community voiced their overwhelming support of Brown at the meeting and called for his reinstatement. Former Superintendent Corey Willenberg has been appointed to the role while Brown's title remains unclear. And the Public Utilities Commission delayed voting on a settlement with PG&E for its role in the 2021 Dixie Fire. For the California Report, Mari Bolaños has more.
The settlement would allow PG&E to pay a $45 million fine, but admit to no wrongdoing. Here's Commissioner Darcy Houck.
We still need sufficient information to be able to make the findings as to whether it's reasonable in the public interest or in compliance with the law. I'm concerned that there's just not enough information here.
The commission will reconsider the deal in January.
That was the California Report's Mari Bolaños. The city of Chico is cracking down on abandoned shopping carts after passing its shopping cart ordinance last month, according to the city clerk's office. The city says it has begun sending out letters to notify businesses of their new responsibilities regarding stolen or misplaced shopping carts around Chico. Business owners have 90 days to come up with individual retrieval plans before the city will begin issuing notices for abandoned carts. These retrieval plans will direct code enforcement on who to contact when a business's shopping cart is found abandoned. Businesses will have up to 3 days to respond to the notices before potentially receiving a fine, though city councilors have not formally decided on the specifics of a penalty system as of yet. And a new independent investigation has found that Chico State followed proper procedures when handling a former professor who had an inappropriate sexual relationship with a student and allegedly threatened gun violence against other professors who notified the university about it. He was allowed back on campus following an internal investigation and even given tenure. NSPR's Alex Stutson spoke with EdSource investigative reporter Thomas Peel about the investigation.
This was a report that originated with a request from the Faculty Senate, the Academic Senate at Fresno State almost a year ago, after some of my original reporting on the threats of gun violence and other things about Dr. Stachura. And it was the decision making was formed after the CSU Chancellor's Office, who hired a lawyer from San Diego to do the report. And the report was then released back to Chico State.
And what did the report find?
The report found that Chico State followed the protocols and rules that were in place and how the Stachura matter was handled as it evolved.
And so what power does this report have?
The report doesn't really have any power. The report doesn't make any recommendations to improve anything. That wasn't part of what apparently was asked for sort of in the contract with the lawyer who did the work. It gives the university some cover to say, hey, we farmed this out to an outside expert who didn't find anything wrong. It didn't find any mishandling of how this Tura situation was unfolded in the years and months before it came to light.
You mentioned that people have been disappointed with it. What has the community response been like to this report?
I've talked to people both on background and for attribution, and they're dismissive of it because they think that the report was orchestrated in a way to give the university cover and is less than intellectually honest about the events that happened.
And I'm curious, where does the case with Statura stand right now?
He has a 3-year workplace violence restraining order in place against him. He can't go on the campus or near the campus. He can't go anywhere near the people that he threatened and people who are subject to the restraining order. So he's barred from campus. He lost a motion recently where he has to pay the university's legal fees for its defense of Betsy Tometi in a libel case that he brought against her. He's being investigated for retaliation for some of the threats that he allegedly made against professors who reported his sexual affair with a student.
Is there anything that you wanted to add about the situation as it stands that I didn't ask you about?
There were a couple of revelations in the report. It does state, for instance, that former Chico State President Gail Hutchison was aware of both the finding that Satura had an inappropriate sexual relationship with a student and the alleged threats to kill professors who turned him in, and yet she agreed to give him tenure and promote him to full professor.
So she was explicitly involved in that decision with that knowledge.
Yes, and that's really the first time that Hutchison has been directly linked to any of the personnel matters involving Statura.
That was EdSource investigative reporter Thomas Peel speaking with NSPR's Alex Stutson. University officials said they're pleased the report has been released and does not dispute the timeline of events it lays out. Moving to state news, California is launching a reproductive health service corps to expand and improve reproductive health care in the state. The announcement was made by Governor Gavin Newsom's office yesterday and is in response to the overturning of Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court last year. The $20 million initiative would address reproductive provider shortages in underserved communities and train a more diverse workforce of healthcare professionals to provide and refer abortion services. And finally, Democratic state lawmakers and Governor Gavin Newsom want the courts to remove an anti-tax ballot measure next November. Now, the state's top court says it will hear the case. Cap Radio's Nicole Nixon reports.
The ballot measure would make it harder for the state and local governments to raise taxes. It's being pushed by a number of pro-business and taxpayer groups who oppose California's high tax rates. Newsom, Democrats, and public service unions argue that the proposition is so sweeping it's actually a constitutional revision. Voters can weigh in on constitutional amendments, but revisions need legislative approval. The California Supreme Court says it will consider arguments in the case. It's rare for the court to take a measure off the ballot, but it has happened at least once in 1990. Nicole Nixon, Cap Radio News.
And those are your headlines for Friday, December 1st. Our theme song is Burrow, and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, head to our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Ava Norgrove.